Hello there, my name is Bart Verswijvel. I work for European Schoolnet as a senior advisor, and I lead the network of Future Classroom Lab ambassadors. We have FCL ambassadors in 15 countries, and their role is to promote innovative pedagogical practices and to disseminate initiatives of European Schoolnet. And of course, the members of the network have a special interest in flexible learning environments. In this series of podcasts, we will discuss several aspects of the work of the Future Classroom Lab ambassadors. Today, we discuss the topic of new classroom environments used by students in one particular school. Let's introduce our guests for today. We have Sampo Forström and Petra Bohakova, two of our lead ambassadors. First, we go to Finland.
Hello, Bart. Hello, everyone. A real joy and pleasure to be here. And my name is Sampo, and I work at the Teacher Training School of the University of Eastern Finland. I'm a lecturer here. My special field is I'm in charge of the ICT in learning. I also work as the project manager for the Network of Teacher Training Schools of Finland, and I'm the leader of many development projects and different networks. I have many versatile and interesting roles in the field of education.
Then we go to Czech Republic.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Bart. My name is Petra, and I am a teacher. Then I am a deputy director, and I am also a leader of ICT department in our school. Our school is located in Prague, which is the capital of the Czech Republic. We are a public school. We have quite a lot of children, which is not usual in the Czech Republic, more than 1,400. And we have children from 6 to 15 years old in our school.
Now let's dive into the topic of today. I would like to invite our speakers to start at the beginning. Why did your school decide to rethink the learning space and tell us how your future classroom or your school look like?
Okay, so Sampo will start from Finland. The FCL project has been going on for some time, and we hadn't had, let's say, actual labs in Finland, let's say before 2018. And we had done some changes in the learning spaces, like towards more innovative and flexible learning environments in 2017 and onwards. And then the National FCL Network was launched, and it was set up in the teacher training schools. We have 10 of those in Finland, and they are parts of the university. And in the beginning, we had three labs, and those labs were in Tampere, Joensuu, and Oulu. And these were three cities that had done, let's say, development within the learning environment scene, and we wanted to be, of course, part of this network, and it was great to join. And so we had torn down some walls and changed, let's say, from the classical landscape of a corridor and class into also versatile open spaces. And then we looked at the learning environment and the expectations from the curriculum, and we came to the conclusion that the whole of the school should be an FCL space, not just one space where you visit. So the development we have done is let's say on a school kind of, so it's not just certain rooms, but we have many innovative spaces in our school. Some are open, some are mixtures of openness and traditional. We've developed many of the school spaces outside of the classroom. And these spaces also reflect the zonal thinking, which is behind the ideology very strongly of the FCL. We did a concept analysis of the Finnish curriculum, and based on that, we formed like five zones related to learning that were selected and we wanted to enhance. So we like to think the whole of the school as an innovative learning environment, and the whole school is like a future classroom lab. Of course, we also have traditional classrooms, but let's say the ideology that we should have different zones for different purposes of the learning process. The Finnish labs, now we have 10 of them. The funding is partly from the Agency of Education, but all development of the physical learning environment has been done with the school's own money. So the agency's money is a bit for, let's say, the work of the ambassadors and when they're planning and leading activities. But then when we're buying furniture or knocking down walls and building new ones, then that's something we the schools have to pay for. So now we started the official FCL in the autumn of 2018 with three labs, and now we are on the fourth phase of funding. We have 10 labs and over 35 ambassadors. So it's a nice progress that we have had in Finland in the FCL. So some of our learning spaces are such that they are being used by the students every day and their teachers. And actually, during the FCL project, we have had some spaces that have been planned and built by or during the project. So the kind of ideology of zones and different purposes for different spaces has been taken into consideration when we have done these changes. So one, we have an open concept classroom for fifth graders, and there are 80 of them in that space. Another kind of semi-open space we have built is a place for second graders. There's a team of three teachers in that and about 60 kids. And it was nice that the kids were also involved in the, let's say, the planning process, and they gave their input into what the learning space should look like. Our school is quite similar to size of Petra School in Prague. We have about 1,450 students in our school from grades 1 to 12. And we are actually in three different physical buildings. And all of these buildings have been developed, let's say, within the FCL project. And besides the students who are using the spaces, we also host about 700 teachers or student teachers who do their practices with us when they're studying to become teachers for classrooms or subject teachers. And they use the spaces as well. And the ideology of the FCL is introduced to them during their studies. And I guess, you know, the one key concept is the kind of competency for, let's say, the development of learning spaces. So when they're able to see and the changes that have been taking place, it gives them, you know, some kind of ideas that I also can be like a change maker within this kind of physical environments. So the changes is possible to be done. The zones, let's say, with outside of the classrooms, in the libraries and maker spaces and such, they're used and reserved by the teachers. They use the student administration program, which in Finland is called Vilma. So they can reserve it from there. And they have, let's say, the kind of zone ideology. So if I wanted to do hands-on activities related to makering, I could reserve the makering space. Or then if I wanted to do some drama activities with my class outside of my classroom, I could reserve the, let's say, the area for expressing yourself and so on. We also have quite a lot of guests, which is of course nice. We conduct some workshops. So professional development is one thing we also do, and let's say the targets of those workshops can be the teacher, students, or colleagues, or then the also teachers from around our let's say area. So there's quite a versatile group of users in these spaces, and they have like different the background why a space looks as it does has to do with, you know, what are the activities that are being done in those spaces.
So Petra, tell us what's going on in your school in Prague.
Okay, so we use our future classroom on a daily basis. If I say we, I mean teachers and students. So the whole day, people from the school are inside. In the afternoons, we from time to time invite people or teachers from schools in the Czech Republic or from the schools nearby. And they have kind of training or maybe a big discussion in the classroom. They can feel the space by themselves. We prepare for them some activities they can try there, and they can decide if they want something similar in their schools. From time to time, we also get a request from teachers from abroad. They have their own Erasmus Plus grants or projects, and they come to our school for job shadowing. We also would like to open the Future Classroom Lab to the community, but it's not possible yet. It's inside the school, and to open it to the community means that it should stay open till the night or evening, and we still don't have enough people who could take care of it. So, but this is our desire. We would like to open it to the public, to the community, to make it more like makerspace or something like this.
Let's now focus on the users of these new flexible learning spaces you created. Teachers and learners will need a different mindset and behavior when operating in a non-traditional learning environment. How does that go with you?
Yes, it is important that we have a few, let's say, brave individuals who are willing to be the first ones. Teachers are well, a generalization, but you know, many times they follow the lead or an example, and in that case, it is important that we have the, let's say, the people in the forefront who are doing different things, and then you know you come up with that I can do the change as well. So there is no such solution that is best for all. And in that sense, it is really important that all the users have a say when things are being changed. If we think of this kind of, let's say, participatory design, that is a good starting point when we are, let's say, changing the school environment, that you know, the users of the spaces usually are the biggest experts in how and what kind of activities should be taking place in those spaces. But also one let's say a challenge is to do also with, let's say, who we are as teachers. We have a lot of ownership in things, and that is also visible when we are doing changes in the physical space. So you know, this is my class, this is my so you know, that kind of expressions you might hear, even though it is the schools, you know, we just work there, but anyhow, that's a really good thing. But it's in some cases it can be also a bit of a, let's say, obstacle for change. If we do not facilitate, let's say, the ideology of learning environments or changes, it's not easy for any of us to come up with, let's say, great new plans for the learning, physical learning spaces. So we need to listen to experts and have a very strong sense of the kind of pedagogical things I want to conduct in that space in order to make it better for the learners. It is nice that the teachers are involved. We had many workshops, and not some were with the whole of the staff, or let's say 30-40 people, and then we split it into groups because it's not that effective working in that. But you know, if you wanted to plan the library, then you know, we had 3 or 4 people doing that. And one thing that is also a bit challenging is if we have a different space and my, let's say, ways of pedagogy are not in balance with that space. So we've also had this kind of, let's say, pedagogical workshops where we try to put, let's say, the learners in the center. So what does it mean that the highlight is not on teaching but learning, and what does that change mean from the teacher's perspective? Of course, it's not easy for an outsider to come and say, you know, you should also think about this, but that's something that, you know, we have to do in order to get the space and the ways that the children are learning in the spaces to be in balance. So we have had, of course, good experiences with getting all of us involved, but sometimes or most of the times, you know, the outcomes are some kind of compromises because there are many points of view and I guess leadership and the kind of that you know, someone is more in charge is a good thing, and then we're able to go forward with positive changes.
Petra, what is your story regarding the involvement of teachers using the Future Classroom?
I'm so happy with what Sampo just said, that the way of pedagogy must be in balance with the space. And this is what I've noticed in our classroom or Future Classroom. It's sometimes it didn't happen. I mean, when we started to build it, you can imagine that the furniture was brand new, shiny, and the space there was very like nice. So I've noticed that all the teachers, not all, but a lot of teachers wanted to go there and have lessons there. But they had their traditional lesson there. And after a while, after, I don't know, 2 lessons, 3 lessons that they were doing there, they said, I don't like it. I don't want to go there anymore. And I think, or I'm convinced that this is why they didn't want to be there, because they didn't change their way of teaching, their way of pedagogy. It was still the teacher who was in front of the classroom, giving knowledge to the students. And they just sat there and they should write something into their notebooks or something. And it's simply not possible there, because the space is so different. So it's much better when the students are those who are in the center of the learning, maybe also of the teaching, because they teach like peer. We use also peer teaching there. So, and this is, I think, an advantage, but also the most difficult challenge which we must overcome in future, like to show the teachers that they have to change the way of teaching. Maybe in our school we started a bit, because we started to support kind of formative, not only assessment but also, I don't know how to translate, attitude to the students, but also among teachers. So we share a lot, or more than before. We try to learn from our colleagues. We try to discuss the problems. We try to teach in pairs. We didn't do this, I don't know, 5 years ago. So we are trying to help to change the way of pedagogy or teaching to our teachers. And we try to invite them back into the Future Classroom Lab, even they didn't like it before.
We have arrived at the next question, which is an important one. Does it really have a positive impact on the learners, according to you, when we change the learning environment into flexible spaces? Is it worth the investment?
Well, we all know that space affects us. If we walk into a nice hotel lobby, we feel excited and very happy, and you know, and the same manner as if we walk into a space that is not that vibrant or not clean and this is something that we have to take into consideration when we are planning and building learning spaces or looking at the classrooms where the children are studying. What kind of a feeling do they arise for us and the learners? In our development of the schools and the, let's say, the FCL concept, is we also try to bring some like wow effects to the school. What this is, or what it shows, that the users are also being valued, and when they understand that, okay, this is of value, the spaces, then they are also better users of the space. They also take ownership of the spaces and understand that this is a great thing that we have such a nice school. And let's say the amount of mischief to the let's say furniture and such is luckily reduced. The well-being of students is something that the spaces can, let's say, develop or enhance. And we have tried to bring elements of nature into the school. There's quite a lot of construction going on in close to our campus. So we've bought like wooden things and plants and such. And research also shows that, let's say, elements of nature enhance the recovery from cognitive stress. And you know, we all would need those kind of mini breaks within the day. The other thing is that, do we take them? But if those should be possible also for the learners. So the impact of the spaces, I would say, that it is evident. The research being done is not the it's not so easy to, you know, find straight answers that what affects what, but what we see in you know, everyday life, if we bring in some nice sofas and such for the social interactions of the learners, they find that those really nice and value them. So I would say that if you are willing to spend some money on the physical spaces, it's a good investment, whether it be in schools or offices or whatever building you're building.
Petra, what is your view? Do you see a positive impact?
For those who are waiting for hard data, I must say we don't have any. So we don't measure it like with doing questionnaires or something like this. But what we can see is that we improved, I don't know if I can use the word, well-being of students. And we also it used to be that there was a big difference between being at home and being at school. Being at home meant that you can sit on a sofa that you can put, I don't know, your legs on the chair, maybe on the desk too or something, and to be comfortable. But being at school, it meant to sit on a wooden hard wooden chair, to pay attention, not to be relaxed, to be on alert all the time. And having this future classroom lab and changing the whole school attitude towards teaching, towards learning, teachers towards students, and students towards teachers, I think difference between home and school is smaller. Maybe there won't be any in a short time, because also in the school, students and also teachers will be relaxed as at home, and the learning will happen more efficiently and in more relaxed way. We all know that if our brain feels fear, we cannot study. So using this flexible space, learning spaces help students to be relaxed. How I know it? I think in my lessons, I usually do a questionnaire, but after school year, and I usually ask about their feelings, how they felt, how they liked lessons there, and what they would change, and something like this. And I give a very positive feedback on this part of on this well-being part of teaching and learning.
We have arrived at the end of this episode. I want to ask my guests whether they can share a piece of advice to other schools who consider rethinking their learning environment. Sampo?
I would give a few tips for the ones who are still maybe thinking of the change. Important that the change is possible. It might need a little push, and usually it is good that there is someone, let's say, from outside of your organization, or at least someone who has maybe seen and learned other things, to come and help you, like, make the change. And let's say an outsider's view might be sometimes worthwhile. Invest in people. Even though we are doing physical spaces, it is important that there is time for proper planning, and not that the planning is being done in extra time without, let's say, compensation. Keep the pedagogy always a very high priority. So when you're thinking of the spaces, think also of the pedagogy that is being done in the spaces. Is it the way we want learning to be done? Do the new spaces or whatever you're planning make it possible to, you know, answer to the challenges of how we should learn in the future? Maybe thinking of hybrid setups as well, depending on the level of your school. And also, leadership is really important. It is great if you have a leader who makes things possible, and someone who is in charge, let's say, of the whole, and has the, like, a clear picture of the whole development process. So if I have only a few, like, some teachers here trying to be active, okay, do I give them free hands, and then another group, and then, you know, the school should be a unanimous kind of a whole. So if we go into colors and that kind of things, that, you know, make it like a nice whole environment. So those are a few tips I can give.
Petra, you have the final word.
I'm thinking about something which I could add to Sampo's tips, and I could thought only about one thing. I would say that my tip is to beware of using technology just because it is modern. Use it because it supports your pedagogy.
So with this valuable advice, we can end the first episode of the Future Classroom Lab Ambassadors podcast series. I want to thank my guests Petra Boakova and Sampo Forström, and you all, of course, for listening. Goodbye.